Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of Talking Ticks. I am Scott Gerard. Joining me on this pod, as all others, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a few things to get into for you folks this week, including LSU's second baseball series. We won it, although it was probably closer than it should have. Tigers won 2 out of 3. Men's basketball also won 2 out of 3 this week. Showed some promise there. And, of course, the Lady Tigers basketball are kind of just rolling along. Everyone's just kind of waiting for March Madness at this point. But we'll get into all that as well as anything else that might come up as usual. Before we do, I want to check in with you guys. We actually had a baseball game canceled last week because of, said inclement or cold weather. I'm like, oh, man, I love baseball, but that's such a you wouldn't hear some other sports saying, we're canceling it because it's cold. I don't know, Tommy, you're on the ground there. Did it seem cold this week? Like they couldn't have played that game against Nichols because now they're going to play in like an hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to be with you. And yes, it, I mean, it definitely was cold. I mean, there were high schools that played, so I don't know what it was. But
don't figure.
I mean, it's been bitterly cold for a little bit now and here in Baton Rouge. So it's warming up a little bit, getting into baseball weather. And they're about to, like you said, they're about to play in about an hour. Excited to see. Looks like freshman William Schmidt's going to throw today. So got that as a little, by the time this rolls, he'll have already thrown. But he got a little inside information there. So excited to watch that. And should be a good outing. LSU and Nichols always like kind of shows out as far as baseball goes, and they get really hyped up for playing LSU. So kind of excited about that. But overall, it's just good to have baseball season back and had to have a winning program.
Yep. Hello, everyone. I was actually in Baton Rouge in Louisiana this past weekend, not for the Mardi Gras festivities that are completely underway now, but a wedding. But yeah, enjoyed the time being back in the home state and did get to watch a fair amount of the LSU baseball as well. So that's cracking along. And then we'll talk about it, but they got some stiffer competition coming up this week as they go to the Dallas area for a little showcase tournament. So that should be fun. And hopefully we can see the Tigers put some more big W's on the board, even if they couldn't keep the record flawless this past week. So lots of cool stuff going on though.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially tougher competition. I mean, I think I said last week, yeah, LSU could possibly be undefeated before SEC play. Not anymore. Then I think I also mentioned, Omaha bound, but Omaha came to us and they brought it, man. That first game was probably closer than we liked. I mean, maybe it wasn't as close as the score showed. They won 4-2. But still, obviously, it was tough. Jay Johnson said so. He said, yep, it's going to be tough tomorrow, too. And that's when LSU lost game one of a doubleheader since they wanted to reschedule the game again for weather, which is honestly, that's pretty much synonymous with LSU baseball, right? Weather issues.
That was, I mean, now that reschedule was totally warranted because yesterday it poured raining all day. So they would have never gotten that game in.
Yeah, so that's fine. Because, yeah, like you say, it's weather happens. Now, what did happen is LSU still won the series. I think it was good to kind of have a tough test early. I mean, if you want to be honest, yeah, LSU lost game two. Wasn't because of pitching, though. Well, at least not their starting pitching. I think that's the one thing that was consistent with all three games. Our starters all went 5 innings plus. All had like 6 strikeouts plus, and had Ianson had some run support, he probably would have got the win like the other two pitchers, like Shores,
Kate Anderson was on Friday.
Thank you. Yeah. So they just didn't have any run support. They got it, but it wasn't until the ninth inning, and LSU didn't have quite enough magic juice. It just carried on over to the second game of the doubleheader where they just blew the doors off of them 12-1. So good to see what our pitching was able to do. Yeah, needed some run support that first game or two, but I don't know. We'll see what they can do. Every weekend we can learn, right?
And I feel like this is just kind of par for the course. I mean, like, it feels like we always have an opening kind of second like this. Weekend,
we do. Jay Johnson mentioned it. Yeah.
Obviously, you don't like. I'm not excited. I'm not like, oh man, like glad we lost to Omaha. but it, you know, there's no reason that the sky is falling. There's no reason to think that, you know, anything other than business as usual is going to happen. And I think overall, this team is stacked. I mean, some of the overall, I feel like we've got this probably one of the deepest teams that we've seen at LSU, especially with Jay Johnson. And they've got a chance to be special.
Yeah, they ran out the three same starting pitcher rotation as last weekend with Cade Anderson on Friday, Anthony Ionson Saturday first game, then Chase Shore's Saturday evening game in the doubleheader, and all three had quality starts. Like you said, Scott, going 5+. The bats weren't so hot the first two games, although the conditions weren't so great either. On Saturday, LSU was actually no hit going into the eighth inning, and the commentators were saying that this would have been the first time LSU had gotten no hit since, I believe, 2020 or something like that. It's like 5 years, maybe even longer than that. But yeah, thankfully they got a few, and then they just gave up 5 runs in one inning to Omaha, I believe, in the seventh. And then so they were down 5-0 going into the bottom of the ninth, and then they had got bases loaded, no outs, plated a few with a nice double, and then I think a single by Jared Jones, and it was 5-3. We had one, I can't remember how we got the first out, but yeah, then it was 5-4 with runners on first and third. And we had a strikeout and a flyout to end the game. So they did mount a late comeback rally, and it would have been fun to see us get that one. But yeah, I can't get them all to go your way. So a one run loss is not the end of the world. And then they laid it on them in the Saturday night game where the bats did come alive with plenty of RBIs as we took that one 12-1, and that was more like we had seen in the first series against Purdue Fort Wayne. And then the midweek game against Southern, we also won pretty handily. I think that one was a run rule in the seventh inning. So overall, a good week for LSU, 3-1. I mean, just to put it in context, there were very few teams across the country that went undefeated this season, including the number one team in the country, Texas A&M, who lost a home game to Cal Poly. So it's not like LSU is the only one to lose to a little bit weaker competition, and we still got a long season ahead. So yeah, overall good. I think there's quality things to take away. We didn't have a ton of power, not a lot of blast for home runs, but like I said, the weather was tough with the wind blowing in for most of the games. So not exactly what you would expect to see anyhow. So hopefully we can get that lit up a little bit more next week and continue to roll on the diamond.
Yeah. And roll on to victory. I would say the difference with that second game against Omaha, I mean, and not to put it on one guy, but it was just it all just came unfolded in one inning because the pitches were all over the place. Where Ionson was doing fine up until then, but after that, yeah, it's like I think we had some hit batters, some pass balls, all kinds of stuff, and that kind of aided LSU too in what was going to be their comeback, but also in game three too. I mean, Omaha was beating themselves a lot, and LSU was able to take advantage. What I will say about game two, though, is in that loss, we had bases loaded in like three different opportunities, right? I think in the first inning, there was no outs or maybe one out, and then another time in probably the fourth or fifth inning too, I forget which, but they had bases loaded again, and they just were not able to capitalize. I remember that happening last year and us or me talking about it, but they started to in the ninth, because they had bases loaded again, but again, just were not able to complete the comeback. But I don't know. I think it's a game of situations, right? And they just were not able to capitalize on those situations in game two. Hence, Omaha winning. It's going to happen. I think it would have been much worse if we lost the series or had another like 4-2. Or 2-1 game on the second part of the doubleheader, but not. We look like we should have looked in game two. I think we'll be fine moving forward. But yeah, the pitching seems to be pretty set. I'd say the defensive positions as well, although we did have a change from game two, right? I think, who was it? Braswell came out. Eaves was in third. Mm-hmm. And
did okay.
He's starting today. They just put the lineup out about 5 minutes ago, and he is Reeves is leading Reeves. off and starting at third base.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the main thing with Braswell being a little bit cold to the plate. He's hitting only I think 176 for the season, so not exactly what you want from your senior, who was a pretty key part of last year's team, and we were hoping to be the same at this point. But maybe he'll work his way back into the lineup. But yeah, gives an opportunity to a young player, Tanner Reeves, to make an impact, and we've already seen that. Like Derek Curiel, in the outfield, is leading the team in average, hitting 440 for the season so far, six RBIs as well. So definitely immediate stamp on it there, and then. Yeah, a little bit of shuffling else around. I think Chris Stanfield came out for one game in the outfield, and they've working in guys like Josh Pearson, veteran, as well as Ashton Larson and Jake Brown. So nothing set for sure, but we got a real core good group of guys. And it's nice when you have those opportunities, because sometimes it's like you've got seven good ones and two bad, but maybe LSU is more on the opposite side where we've got like 11 or 12 guys who could play at any one time. And it's just kind of who Jay Johnson is feeling at the moment.
That's how it feels. I mean, I've said it before, but this team is just is a very deep team with a lot of talent, a lot of, especially like as far as bats go. So, I mean, it's, you think about like last year, Monster Milam was, batting towards the top of the lineup and doing very well and had a freshman phenom year. Now he's batting eighth, which is fine. I like that spot for him. But I mean, it shows you the talent ahead of him, or not ahead of him, but the rest of the talent on the team. So it's a good feeling.
Yeah. And obviously we have two very capable catchers, both with a good arm. I think they've both thrown somebody out at this point. And Hernandez seems to be like a double machine. Guy's got like three doubles already. So great for him. And yeah, we do have that kind of depth. I wonder if Jay, he's just trying to mix things up now. I mean, I know he's not worried about one game, but it was for like two games in a row. We were just kind of stagnant, right? Four runs against Omaha is like, that's close. Why is that close? But he has the luxury. We've got plenty of guys. And it's good to see some freshmen getting in there too, because, I mean, that's what I was going to talk about with basketball. It's, you don't know what you have until it's out there. And obviously LSU has some freshman talent, but you got a lot of seasoned guys too that you brought in to play. So I imagine they're still going to see time. Right. So, and I think we have Nichols tonight, and then there's one other midweek. We had to add that one tonight. Then there's another midweek, and then another series. So, five games this week.
Yeah, Nichols Monday, and then number 18 of the country, Dallas Baptist in Arlington, Texas, on Wednesday. So that should be a first. Kind of big test for LSU. Dallas Baptist, known for having a solid baseball team, especially for a smaller school. And then going into the weekend series, they're playing in the Frisco College Baseball Classic Friday night, or all will be in Frisco, Texas. I'm not exactly sure what field they're playing at, but this is outside of Dallas. Friday night against Kansas State, Saturday against Nebraska, who's got a pretty good team this year as well, and then Sunday against Sam Houston State, another smaller school that has made the postseason as well. So definitely a step up, and we get to see a variety of opponents, and hopefully LSU will be able to hold their own there and get a little sneak peek of where we stand in terms of whether these pitchers are actually mowing them down, or and whether we can face a little stiffer competition on the other side, whether we can hit the heaters from the other teams.
Right. Kind of representing the SEC too here. I think Kansas State might have played Arkansas this past week and beat them. So it always good to mix it up against other conferences. Yeah, I noticed that Dallas Baptist game, because they almost made it to Omaha. Mm-hmm. 1 year, and I was like, wow, those guys look good. I wonder if we'll end up playing them. And then this season we are. Luckily, it's on a Wednesday to start the year. So, yeah, another good test. I don't know that we would see you don't think we would see Anderson Wednesday, right? That seems a little soon, considering he pitched Friday.
Yeah, they'll probably save him for Friday again. But yeah, I see your point. It's like, yeah, if they're the best team we're going to play, you want your best pitcher out there.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird with the with having to make up this Nichols game. It kind of throws your staff in for a loop, it feels like. But yeah, we'll see.
We could see Will Schmidt, somebody we haven't seen, who I think was supposed to start versus Nickel before they had to move the game, Gavin Guidry. So I don't know, maybe he's going to save him for Wednesday now. That could be possible.
That's a good point. Didn't think about that.
We'll see, I guess. Lots of good arms there too, man. There's guys that Kaysen looked good, man. This guy Maverick, the 6'9" Maverick Rizzi. I mean, I'd love to see that guy pitch again. He just looks like Randy Johnson's love child out there, right? I mean, this guy's just so monstrous on the mound. I'm waiting for him to like hit a bird with a pitch one day. It'll probably happen, but anyway, lots of stuff there. But yeah, it was still a good week for baseball overall. Men's basketball too had a couple good wins, and man, if you watched the beginning and the end of that Florida basketball game, which was at the PMAC, you would think, man, LSU was just, you know, outmatched again. But they were actually controlled of after they had a comeback in the beginning of the game, they were in control all the way up until Florida had a run of their own, and that's when they kind of just pulled away, and obviously the two teams looked a lot different. But the fact that LSU held its own for so long, and also why they, you know, they had these wins this week, I would say it's still not, you know, a finished product, but I can see why maybe they wanted to keep Matt McMahon on for another year, which I think they recently said they were. And yeah, you know, we've got some talent. She's putting it all together, but still not this year. But that's why they're putting it on, giving us the Billy Napier pass this year. We'll see him next year. Hopefully we'll have it all together, but looking better, right?
Yeah. It would have been nice to get that win against the number two team in the country, Florida, at home. And like you mentioned, in the middle, we were playing pretty well. LSU was only down, I think, by 5 or 6 with like 4 minutes left. And then Florida pulled away at the end, and they kind of the free throw battle ensued. And then that kind of inflates the box score at the very end. But yeah, LSU played a decent game. Their best player, Cam Carter, was like real cold from the field. I think he was 3 of 13 or something. And so it's hard to win when your best player can't find the bottom of the net. But it gave some other people some opportunities to step up. And yeah, it would have been a kind of a signature win on Matt McMahon's resume. He gets another crack at that tomorrow as number 5 Tennessee comes to Baton Rouge. And Tennessee, a team that you always want to beat in basketball given their pedigree, and then 3 ranked teams to finish the season after that with Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Texas A&M. So gives credence to that SEC strength that we've seen across the season in college basketball, and opportunities to maybe put a lipstick on a pig in some sense in the season for LSU to make things a little bit better and build off of. But overall, it's kind of eh. And Matt McMahon, like you said, will be back, and hopefully this new crop will improve things next year. But hard to be too confident at this point. Maybe just one win out of these last 4 would be successful for LSU. Thankfully, the women are still cruising with 2 big wins, including a comeback win against Kentucky the last night, I believe. So, yeah, they're looking good for March Madness coming up here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would add is that you know, not only have they said that they're going to retain Matt McMahon, and you know he's the guy for next year, but they're also going to investing, I think, what was it, $2 million in NIL to build that team. So, you know, it's kind of a I think that the writing's on the wall as far as this is his chance. There's obviously like he's obviously got some good maybe some good bones in the program, like you said, Scott, you know, being able to play Florida close like that. But you just can't compete with the SEC the way it is in basketball now, where your last, like Daniel said, that your last 5 games are all ranked opponents and all in conference. You got to have some really, really high end talent that we just don't have.
Yeah, and you're not expected to win every single game against that SEC schedule, but you got to win more than 2 games, or I guess 3, against the worst 3 teams in the conference besides yourself. Like, you got to be able to compete with some guys a little bit higher up on the table, which is what we saw in kind of the middle Will Wade years. So, and LSU is never, I think, going to be a national basketball powerhouse, but when you see teams like Auburn and Alabama and Mississippi State and stuff, like at least being in the top 25, you're like, I think we could do that with the right resources and talent.
Of course.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, which I think is one of the main reasons for frustration from LSU is like, why do we not compete when we're of a general pedigree to these other teams in our conference?
Well, it's like, I mean, it's not like we're in the ACC and then suddenly like LSU's there. And then there's also Duke. Like Alabama was not a good basketball team. What, 5 years ago, they have not been building at all. It's not like they've all. And so like, it's just, they have made, you know, smart investments in their program and hired the right guy. And are having a lot of success. Same thing. I mean, I think Auburn's a little bit different just because Bruce Pearl is more of a, I mean, he's kind of a big time coach. I wouldn't say Nate Oates is at Alabama, but there's no reason why we can't be up there. And I think that with the conference as good as it is right now, like LSU, you know, LSU has basically has to, it's either compete or fall even further.
Right. And I'm going to take something that each of you said. Daniel said something about general, and Tommy said, hire the right guy. You see where I'm going with it. But we're giving him Matt McMahon another year, so we shall see. But maybe at the end of that year, if he is not the guy, then maybe we need to hire the general. Because, Tommy, that's one
of the
things. Nate Oates isn't a guy, but he's brought his team up to the playing field. Like, he's elevated them completely.
Absolutely.
He'll stay there, but, I mean, he's elevated them. And, yeah, maybe they are spending money on basketball where we are not. We could. Like I said, we've had blockbuster players before, but we're focused on football and basketball, and that's about it. But I think that'll change. Did see some good stuff like Miller, that freshman. Man, if he came in, and that's where the Tigers were – like kind of running things towards the end of the first half when they went on like a 22-2 run and, you know, through the second half. Yeah, Florida went on a run of their own. So that's where having a more well-rounded team or, you know, just the right guys, maybe that could help. But who knows? Maybe Matt can find his jaw, or maybe he has his jaw and it's just carving and polishing a little bit, you know?
Let's hope so. I mean, we talked about it last week, but it's the same thing. It's kind of amazing. This man's, you know, it feels like this man's career is built off of a jaw.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has to build up from here. Otherwise, it's just a plateau. Anyway, but think about this. It's like we would have to win a majority of the games left just to finish like right above 500, right? So even if LSU hadn't lost a lot of games this season that they shouldn't have, we'd probably be on the bubble, maybe. But, yeah, you're facing five ranked teams to finish the year. It's like, you know, you're not going to win all those. We're not there yet. So,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Plenty to go. I don't know. I know you mentioned the women's, Daniel, but, yeah, they got it out of win, came back. I think it's just a matter of seeding for them at this point. I mean, once you get into the tournament, all bets are off anyway. So I think once LSU gets into the tournament, yeah, they'll probably come up against one of these teams that they've already played and possibly lost, like South Carolina or somebody else. But just depends who they get in the draw. But, of course, they're going to go dancing, no doubt.
Yeah, and they'll probably be a top three seed at least, which is the position that we won the national championship from 2 years ago. And so not a bad spot to be in. No Caitlin Clark in the way this year. And there's also no Terminator team like South Carolina. Obviously, they're still very good again, but they're not unbeatable like they were last year. So happy about that. And I think LSU, they may not have quite the star power that they did in the past 2 years, but definitely can still make a deep run. So they've got two more games left in the regular season going at number 20 Alabama in the midweek game, and then closing it out on March 2nd at home against Ole Miss. So two more wins, hopefully on the board, and then on to the SEC tournament.
Yep. Do you think that the Tigers would make the tournament, the men's tournament, right?
It's like yes, all 16 teams make the tournament, I believe.
Who is it? Oh, that's baseball, right? Where like the lowest two sit out.
I believe in the past they did have the last two teams get cut, just the way the bracket was. But I think with 16 now, it's like a perfect like double elimination bracket. Okay. So like everybody.
Yeah, because like last year there definitely were like two teams that didn't make it, but that makes sense now, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I don't know if there was anything else from basketball. I think we might have covered just about everything, unless you guys had something.
No, I think that's it. I mean, it'll be over by the time this pod comes out. But yeah, have your TV set to the ESPN Plus or whatever for LSU baseball. I'm not quite sure where you can watch the Frisco Baseball Classic this weekend. I think it's one of those ones where they got like their own special like TV package. So maybe that one...
probably
like when they played at Houston. Uh-huh. Those were terrible.
But anyway, at least you can keep track on Twitter or X.com at LSU Baseball. They like to post a lot. So either way, it should be fun, and we'll be happy to give you the recap of that next year or next week.
Next year.
We'll be back in 2026.
Yeah, we're saving that pod for a special year. Well, I've been able to watch some things on YouTube from time to time also. It could be live, but you know, if enough people start watching it, I think they notice and then they cut the feed. But I've been able to find certain things on YouTube, interestingly enough. One thing I did want to mention, because, you know, football's been over for weeks now, but the Big Ten and the SEC were talking down in Nolens this week. I guess they decided, hey, Super Bowl's over. Let's just get down there and it's Mardi Gras. Let's have a little confab, you know, talk some football. They were talking about the seeding for the playoffs, which is, okay, great. Again, I don't know why, unless it's just a Mardi Gras thing, but I just thought it was interesting that it made news that the Big Ten and SEC are talking, because, you know, I guess that's just where it's all going to go eventually. Well, that's all that matters is the Big Ten and the SEC. They talked about the seeding, how they should redo that. It shouldn't go to just conference winners, just reseed it all together so there's no buys, really. Oh, but we're just talking now. We'll, of course, chair our – you know, what we discuss with all the other conferences and get their input, but this is what we discussed. I don't know. Just wondering if you guys saw that or had any thoughts about it, because obviously it said something if they didn't even invite anybody else. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people would agree. The seating seemed off, so maybe some tinkering can be done. What say you?
I think it shows the who really holds the power in college football right now. It's these two conferences, that's it, whether you like it or not. And I mean, you saw that during COVID, and then coming out of COVID with the way that the seasons played out, and then the TV deals that came from that, and the way that you know, ESPN made their play for SEC and Fox made their play for Big Ten. I just think that it makes sense to me that the two biggest conferences, the two most, you know, powerful conferences would be kind of driving the ship. Kind of sucks if you're in the Big 12 or ACC, but especially like if you're like a Clemson or something, but that's just the way it is.
Right. There was some rumors that the SEC and the Big Ten were kind of conspiring on this playoff expansion once again, I believe to 16 teams, or maybe it was 14, where they were saying that they were going to demand, I think, 3 automatic bids per conference between the SEC and the Big Ten. So that would lock up, I guess, 6 out of the 16 for those conferences. And I mean, overall, they have been the best two conferences in football over the last 2+ decades. So maybe there's a little bit of warranting there, but I kind of like the system right now where the conference champion gets in. And as we saw, there was plenty of blowouts in this past playoff. So I don't think we need to start pumping the numbers up any more than there already is, except for the TV guys make the money and they pay it out in the ad revenue. So I guess more games equals more money for them. But yeah, it seems okay. I wouldn't give too many automatic bids out, but yeah, SEC and Big Ten are controlling. Although I do kind of agree with the thing that they need to adjust the seeding so it's not just the conference champions getting the automatic bid, given that we saw all four top four seeds lose this year with the buys. That might have just been a fluke. I mean, this is only year one of the experiment, but there was a lot of discussion around that. So we'll see what they end up doing, but I don't know if they would change it immediately after one go of it in the 12-team playoff.
I mean, I like the idea of of automatic bids for conference champions, but not automatic, but not seeding that way.
Yeah. If that makes sense. I mean, it wouldn't have changed things that much, although, yeah, you wouldn't have seen, I don't think, who was it that, like, Arizona State, they probably they would not have gotten a bye. And the other team was, I'm blanking on it, that got a bye, they wouldn't have done it because Oregon still would have and Georgia probably still would have. But yeah, Texas like would have slotted in there and it would change the matchups up a little bit. So I think that's a little bit more fair just based on how good the teams are, how well you think they'll do, and just seed them straight top to bottom like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would also say it would be an odd year, but stranger things have happened. Like what if there was a conference champion, but they had three losses, you know, it was just maybe the team they played in the championship was undefeated. Maybe it was in Ohio State and they played Indiana on some miraculous Cinderella season and they beat Ohio State, even though they had two other losses or three losses. That's what we would be looking at. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, I agree. I don't know that you should get an automatic seed just because you won your conference, because they're all different.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe seeding would help determine.
Yeah.
Just thought that was interesting. The big boys talking. But if that's all you guys got, then
that's pretty much all on my end, I think. Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for us here on Talking Ticks. Tune in next week. We'll have more for you, including the tournament, I guess, the classic that the LSU baseball will be in. We'll have some other follow-up scores for you with basketball as well. So until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Ticks.